You're listening to the Simple Pen Podcast, Pinterest for business advice that goes down smooth and easy. Here's your host, Kate All.
Welcome back to another episode of the Simple Pen Podcast. I'm your host, Kate All, owner and founder of Simple Pen Media. This is the podcast where we share with you everything you need to know about Pinterest marketing. Today, we're going to be covering short form video content for Pinterest and how we repurpose that to other platforms. The internet is buzzing with the idea of short form video content potentially not serving our audiences anymore, might be going away. I don't think that's the case. And that it's not being used effectively. Maybe that's more the idea that we aren't leading them anywhere. We're playing to algorithms, which is often what we need to do in this game. But in that, we've forgotten our person on the other end of that video. So in this episode, I'm diving in with my social media manager, Tabby, into our recent switch and discovery of why we no longer create for Instagram first. But I want to tell you first that April showers bring May flowers and April spring cleaning brings a happy person in May. And I really couldn't tighten that up to swing Pinterest in there, but you get the idea. Spring is a great time to clean out all the dust on your Pinterest account and get geared up for the back half of this year. So this month, Simple Pin is offering 20% off of our deep cleans and builds, which I want to tell you a little bit more about what those are. So our team basically goes deep into your business and learns how to update your Pinterest profile or build it, depending on what you need, so that it's prepped and ready to go for you actually to use the platform to market effectively. So whether you're jumping back into Pinterest marketing or you've been operating with a really messy Pinterest profile, the Simple Pin team is ready to clean up or build your Pinterest profile. And just a side note, we've been doing these for 8 years. It's a little flex there, but we're pretty good at it. So we have seen all the messy profiles. So don't be embarrassed about your Pinterest account. It's okay. We've seen lots of them. I mean, I could tell you some stories, but I won't. I'm going to keep that sacred between us and the client. So trust that we will take care of you as well. So click on the link below in your podcast app in this description and sign up. You're going to use the code SPRING20 at checkout to get 20% off your total package price. And you'll be working with one of our team members who is wicked smart at these services as well. All righty, that's it. Let's jump into today's episode. Hey, Tabby, thanks for joining me on the Simple Pin Podcast.
Hey, Kate.
I want everybody to know that Tabby is our social media manager here at Simple Pin Media, and Tabby and I talk on Slack and Boxer and other things all the time, and she's basically the expert on all of our social media and what works, what doesn't work, as well as she participates in the Pinterest Pioneers program, which, Tabby, tell them, those who don't know what that is, what the Pinterest Pioneers program is.
So basically, that is just a group of Pinterest experts inside the Pinterest business community, which is basically a forum where you can go ask Pinterest questions. And Pinterest has a group of moderators in there that help answer questions. And a lot of times they tell you to fill out a ticket. So you almost always have to end up filling a ticket anyway. But they also have a group of volunteers who are like us, Simple Pin Media, or just other Pinterest managers, experts, helping to answer questions as well.
Yeah, it's been pretty, it's been interesting, I would say. You know what, it's like two-ish years old. Is that about right?
Three. It started in 2020, right?
Oh,
Pioneers? I don't know.
Yeah.
The PBC opened in 2020, I'm pretty sure. But then They kind of formed this group of volunteer experts in the last year and a half, 2 years. Yeah, I think you're right. So
okay. Yeah, and it was really like the solution to Pinterest needed to bridge the gap between their corporate and creators. Cause it's like, we're not speaking the same language. We're kind of like passing ships, which I think it's gotten a little bit better, but I still think there's that element of like Pinterest corporate doesn't totally really understand creators, and I see them trying to like get a little closer about it and get a little better, but it's like still a work in progress. So the PBC, we tell people, the Pinterest business community, we tell people to always go there if you have questions, because it is a great community forum. So maybe even if you don't get questions from Pinterest, you do get the communal aspect, which I think as some Facebook groups have shut down and other things, this is a really good place to go.
Totally. And it's a great place to network. I've definitely seen people like meeting in the PBC and then doing things together, whether it be one creator to another creator, or even Pinterest notices a creator that would be good for them to highlight. And so it's a great place for that.
Yeah, I agree. Like, take advantage. You know, a lot of people always tell us like, they're either frustrated or they're complaining like Pinterest isn't listening. That's a really great place to put your complaint or your feedback, because they do have people who staff it who are listening. So just a little plug for that. But back to short form video content. So in episode 327, I definitely touched on our idea of reframing and creating content for Pinterest first, YouTube second, Instagram third. But I want to talk a little bit more of what that looks like in the way of like short form video content, because the internet is buzzing with this whole topic of short form video content, which had a huge rise in 2019, 2020, especially when a lot of us were home. A huge rise with this in conversation due to the upcoming ban of TikTok, which I do believe it will be banned in the US. I know some people don't, but that's kind of my stance and where I'm at. So that leaves people with, you know, what do we do with our short form video? What's the purpose of it? And I asked actually that question recently on LinkedIn, and I'm spending a lot of time over there. So if you want to go hang out with me and chat, I will say LinkedIn is a whole new place and I actually love it now. I did it before. I hated it. So now I love it. And we're having conversations. And I asked this question, like, where do you see short form video content going in the future? And somebody made a great comment back and they said, I think it's good for awareness, but like people don't know how to leverage it for conversion. So in that sense, that's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about like our process in leveraging short form content, especially with the Idea Pin Links rolling out. We're going to have an episode next episode about Idea Pin Links, but we're recording this April 10th. Tabby, do we have Idea Pin Links yet on our content? And I'm assuming the answer is no by that giggle.
Yeah, the answer is no. However, this is such a weird little glitch. I think it's a glitch. I don't think they meant for this to be on purpose, but you can go back to your published Idea Pin on desktop only. And when you go to edit a already published Idea Pin, you can add a link. And so I have been doing that for the last few. I actually just the other day went through when I was working on, you know, pinning, filling up our schedule with pins. I went back through a few Idea Pins and edited them and added some relevant, blog post or our start series, things like that.
That is so weird. And So before we dive into like our whole workflow, I do want to address this question of desktop and mobile, because I get this all the time and we were planning on talking about it a little bit later, but like, I want to talk about it here because, just recently I had somebody ask me about, I can't remember what it was on desktop. Oh, it was about like comments. They couldn't see comments and engagement on desktop. And I was like, well, go to your phone. What do you see in your app? And they said, I don't use Pinterest on my phone. And my response back was, you need to be using Pinterest on your phone simply because that's the majority of what your users are seeing. And if you're working on 15, 17, 25 inch screens, your users are not seeing that. So I want you to talk a little bit about kind of when it comes to this short form content with Idea Pins, and like you just said, we can do this weird thing on desktop, but what would you tell somebody in that situation that's like, well, I don't have it on my phone. I only do desktop.
Yes. I mean, what you said about they need to be on their phone. They need to have the app on their phone as a creator. That applies to even before we had Idea Pins. And you know, idea pins ideally are done on your phone because they have more features when you create an idea pin. But that's true even before idea pins. Like, most of your users are on their phones when they are looking at Pinterest. So you should be too. I actually forgot your question. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I teed it up in a long way in the sense of more features. I feel like that over the two things of your users are on it and it has more features is like the two top reasons you need to be doing idea pins on your phone. Now, with this, since we're talking about short form content, is there an app that you like in particular to kind of like edit beforehand? Like, do you edit on desktop? What's your kind of, we're going to get into this a little bit later too, but like, well, actually don't say anything yet because we're walking through it. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. So let's get back to this baseline of like short form video content anyway. I would say our big switch that we made in January was we moved back to the place of being educational and authority building. We're not dancing anymore. We're not trying to do the, what did you call them? Like the lip syncing? No, I don't like lip syncing, but the voiceover.
The voiceovers.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that. And you've been working on all these platforms. Have you seen a shift of other people's content too?
Oh, yeah, totally. So we kind of, Kate and I, we meet every month and we film, you know, different little short things. For it used to be always with interest in mind or interest. Instagram. I was thinking of Pinterest and Instagram.
Yes, totally.
Instagram. Oh my gosh. With Instagram in mind. So we would create reels first. And then if a reel made sense for an idea pin, I would make it an idea pin. But we kind of realized that Pinterest is our top driver of traffic of amongst any of the social media platforms that we're on, like way more, it drives way more traffic than any other platform. So we thought, why the heck are we prioritizing Instagram reels over idea pins? So that is kind of, that was where the switch happened. And we decided, you know what, everything we make is going to be for idea pins. And that means that what we create is going to be super high value to our viewers, our followers, you know, wherever they're at. It's going to be super high value. It's going to be tips, just like quick tips, how to, you know, create the best image or whatever Pinterest tip that people commonly ask. Those are the types of short form video content that we are creating now. And here's the thing, when we create for idea pins first, they always do well on Instagram too, because Instagram has always kind of been this weird, like, I'm gonna entertain you, this is just for fun. You know, it's kind of a hodgepodge of different things that you can do to reach your audience. It could be for entertainment. It could be for a tip. It could be for education. It could just be to get seen more in the algorithm. And then, you know, somebody starts following you, things like that. But educational tips on Pinterest are always good on Instagram. So I am able to repurpose a lot more than I used to be able to. Does that make sense?
No, it does. And I think one of the things that's important is for us, that switch brought us back to connecting with our consumer. Whereas we felt like Instagram, you know, and we've been recording Instagram first, I want to say for a solid year, if not longer, like really in August of 2020, when Instagram really pushed out Reels and said, prioritize these, make things important. We really hit the ground running in that September of 2020 and really went for it. So it's not like we just did it for a couple of months and said, hey, we're going to be done with this. Like, we gave it a good like year and a half, like 15, 16 months. And when we finally had this epiphany, we realized it was like creating for Instagram first felt so hard, like coming up with ideas, coming up with these skits, if you will. And it didn't even really truly feel like teaching. It felt always to me like, oh, I have to get this like weird Instagram face, like motivating myself, when we teach Pinterest all the time. Like we teach tips, we teach awareness. And for us, having done this, Tebby, was it last month or was it? It was February when we first started.
Yes.
Creating for Pinterest first. And it was like magic happened when we did it. And it was, we created so much more efficiently. We created so much more authentically. And it felt like us. It was like we were wearing like, I know every woman listening to this podcast, and I know there's some men too, but I'm going to kind of address women because this is a women's issue. Women looking for jeans is like the worst thing on the platform. It's like, I would put it in the same bucket as like finding a swimsuit, right? Like jean shopping is horrible. So it kind of felt like we were wearing like these weird, uncomfortable jeans for 18 months. And we put on a really great fitting pair of jeans. It was like, I can breathe. Like we can actually like, we are wearing the right size jean. And yes, so
it fits perfectly.
I know. Sorry for that little like diatribe there. So, I want to walk us through our process for you. If that's something that you are ready to embrace as well, you want to move away from creating Instagram first or creating TikTok first, we want to talk to you about how we create Pinterest first in the way of short form video, and then how we repurpose from there so you can start to get into this groove. And I will tell you, if you don't have Pinterest on your phone, you're going to have to get Pinterest on your phone. It's just something you need to do. And I want to say this too. No other social media platform, maybe besides YouTube, leverages desktop. Nobody creates Instagram on their desktop. Nobody creates TikTok on their it's just not a common thing. So for you to have the luxury of like creating on desktop with Pinterest and YouTube, it's great, but it should not be the first thing that you should do. It should be kind of like your backup. Like if you need to clean up your Pinterest account, I would never tell you to do it on your phone. That's incredibly frustrating to have to see the whole picture. I would always tell you, make sure you clean up your Pinterest account on your desktop because you have a better view. But that's not necessarily like a marketing tool. That's just a like cleanup tool, if you will. Same with analytics.
I actually just recorded a YouTube video kind of about this. I did mention that how, you know, all the other platforms, you have to create on your phone. Like it's always on Pinterest, it's always been easier on desktop. But I think it's nice actually that IdeaPins came out, that they are more, you know, mobile centric, because it kind of forces you to get on your phone more. Because I remember before IdeaPins, it was always like we were constantly reminding creators and business owners, hey, make sure you get on your phone and look at what you're doing on desktop. Look at what you're doing on mobile, because it sometimes doesn't look the same and you need to make sure it's on point for, you know, grabbing those eyes that you want to grab. So I think that it's actually good that you have to do more on your mobile device with IdeaPins. It forces you to look at what your users are seeing.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Your audience.
Yeah. You know, it's like I go interchangeable with that too. Like users, audience, consumer, you know, like I would say, however you identify with the person that you're talking to or creating for, and whatever you call them, that's who you're working for. It's like, you're not trying to work for an algorithm. And maybe that's a good place to really address too there as well, is we were playing to an algorithm. We had kind of forgotten our end reader and consumer because we, you know, we were paying attention, which is good. I think you have to play the game of the algorithms on the platforms. I think there's that element. But when it becomes off balance and that becomes more of a priority than the person that you're marketing to, you have a marketing problem, because then you're not connecting with the person on the other end. When you bring those back into balance, that's your sweet spot where you're able to allow the algorithm and the stats tell you what your people like, instead of going, how does the algorithm like this? Instead of saying, oh, we got this many views, this is so awesome, or we got this many whatever, instead of thinking about it that way, it's like, man, this many people engage with our content on this, but on this one, 100 times the people engaged on this. So people like this. Okay, let's keep creating that because it shows that this is hitting on something. So just always kind of keep those two in balance, which is hard, right? I mean, Tabby, you know, you're managing like 4 or 5 different platforms and they all have different rules of all the things.
Yeah, so fun. It's so fun.
I know, right? Right. Okay. Before we dive in, I'm going to do a quick little ad break for you and let you know that this episode is sponsored by the new AI Pinterest marketing solution called Pin Generator. And really, I would ask you, are you tired of spending hours creating new pins for your Pinterest marketing strategy? Well, that's where Pin Generator comes in. It's a website that can automate your Pinterest marketing for you. So the coolest thing about Pin Generator is that it uses advanced AI, which is all the internet is buzzing about these days, and a unique template design to automatically create new pins for you with a brand new pin image, pin title, and description. You don't have to do a thing. It'll even schedule your pins to your choice of board so that you can just set it and forget it. So with Pin Generator, you'll continuously generate new pins without lifting a finger. And let's be real, who doesn't love that? Plus, it frees up your time to focus on other important aspects of your business. Now, before you ask, yes, Pin Generator is an approved Pinterest marketing tool and uses the Pinterest API. I asked the same question to the owner myself. So why not give Pin Generator a try today and experience the power of AI-driven automation for your Pinterest marketing? Trust me, you won't regret it. So click on the link below here in your podcast app and test it out for yourself. All right, back to the podcast. All right, Tabby, let's talk about our 5 steps. It might be more than 5, but that's where we're going to go. First, the content. So you really do this a lot before you and I meet that once a month. So talk to me about your process of pulling in what our Pinterest analytics tells us, what our questions from our people tell us. How do you gather that together? Because you come with your nice fancy notebook with your top ideas.
So I feel like this changes month to month, but for the most part, I get a lot of the content ideas from just questions that we get. So whether it be in our DMs, questions or in comments, even from YouTube, I also look up common searches. Like on YouTube, I start typing in Pinterest marketing, and then, you know, you have that drop down. And I just kind of see what are people searching, and that helps me kind of form questions that we can answer. And that is like the number one piece of content, I would say, is we answer your questions. So each short form video that we create is answering a question. It is solving a problem, which is something that we tell all of our people. Are you solving a problem on Pinterest? Because a lot of the time people are going to Pinterest because they have a problem. They want to decorate their house a certain way, or they need a parenting hack or stuff like that. So that is probably the number one way I kind of come up with our short form video content, I would say.
Yeah. And we, this year, we're testing out something new, a town hall. So we're doing 3 of them throughout the year. We just had our second one. And what we do in these is it's just a chance for people to show up and talk to us about the state of Pinterest, where they're at. And what we love about these is we keep track of all the questions that people ask us in a document. We pull them over because that's the whole thing. Like, we give our kind of state of the union, where Pinterest is at, and people come say, what about this? What about this? And what that surfaces for us are these things that maybe we didn't even know a rumor was out there. Like, sometimes people will come in with stuff, we're like, what? Where did you hear that? And what it allows us to see is that there could potentially be somebody teaching something somewhere that is not a tried and true way to do Pinterest marketing. So we get to kind of like head that off at the pass. But then we get to deal with these things where people truly are confused. Like, they just don't know what to do. So we took them from there. And then I recently spoke at Tastemaker and people put their questions into the app. And that was so helpful because it was a sampling of 400 food creators and their questions about Pinterest. And if there's any other sector of the online world that uses Pinterest more, it's probably the food space, because that's where a lot of people go to look for recipes. So we kind of merged those two together and came up with this. Last month, we did 9 videos off of those, and we didn't even get through all the questions. So that was great. So we have the content, and I kind of swapped 2 and 3. So I'm going to say like 2 is actually recording. And this is, we meet together. We have about an hour and a half spot. Tabby comes to my house. We laugh our faces off at each other at how stupid we feel. And then we start recording. Tabby, we're just using your phone and you're recording raw video, correct?
Correct. Yep. So I like to use my phone. I like to record on my phone. I don't like to use the recording features in any of the platforms, Instagram, Pinterest, or any of them, just because I am, I guess I would say, because you are the main face of all of the videos that we create. And then I take that and I edit it. I add text. I do all of those things. If I were a creator just by myself, I would probably record in the apps, because then I can just have it there and it's ready to, you know, edit. But it's a lot easier for me as the social media manager to take what I get from Kate and then edit it for however I want to use it in Pinterest, but then also take that raw film and edit it for however I want to use it in a reel or a short or what have you. And, you know, I actually think it's better to do that anyway, even if you are a one-man show, because if you want to repurpose it, it's a lot easier to do it that way.
Yeah, that's a good point. Instead of having to like download it out of the app, and there's all these things, every platform wants original content, right? So it's, if you're creating in something or you forget to remove the watermark or blah, 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 whatever it is. I also want to say this for, like, I know I made the distinction, like we did 9 videos in like 45 minutes. Tabby had, we'd written out all the questions. And so it is easier for me. I tend to, because I've recorded this podcast now for 7 years, I've done so much video. For her to say, I need you to talk about this, here's the 3 points. I can say it back to her and be like, okay, I'm going to do this, 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 this. And I can go and I can just do it. You were talking to me 7 years ago, I would have recorded that video 150 times because I said something wrong. Now I don't care anymore. It's like, this is just true life, right? Especially in this podcast. Like, we don't edit out everything. There's sometimes when I trip over my words or I say something wrong, I don't really care. That is life. It's not important to me. So if that's something that is difficult for you, I just want to say it takes practice just to keep doing and doing and doing. And eventually, it just becomes where you can do 9 videos in 45 minutes that are less than 60 seconds, because it's just ingrained in what you do. And I'm sure if I sat in front of any one of you listening and you had, I asked you a question about your brand or your content, you could talk about it like it's second nature. But if we put up a camera in front of us, it changes things and it doesn't roll off. And I think what you're looking for when it comes to recording is kind of that sweet spot of bringing those two together. And I enjoy recording with you, Tabby, because there's an energy that comes into the room and I can feed off that and then I can just go. So if you need somebody to record with you,
just fly me out.
Yeah, exactly. Tabby's available. She's ready to go. She brings all the laughter. Okay, so we record, and then after that, picking the format. Actually, we don't even do that. I would say then it's really uploading the edited but raw into the tools. Like, we kind of pick, okay, we're going to upload it into Pinterest here after you've edited that. Is that correct?
Yep. So what I do when, after we've met, I come home and I have all of the videos that we've recorded written down, and then I add them to my content calendar, and I usually type out like idea pin, the name of the topic of that video. And then it's just in my calendar. So usually when we meet once a month, we record anywhere from, you know, I don't know, 8 to 12 videos usually. I will space those out on my content calendar for 2 to 3 idea pins a month. And so that usually gets me all the way until we meet again. So when, once I do that, it's really just easy for me to, on that day, like, you know, I use Asana and, actually I can't do anything without Asana.
But so we've all tried, believe me, yeah. We've tried not to use it.
I will look at my task that day and it says idea pin, topic of that, the video, I'll grab that video, I'll edit it however it needs to be edited. And depending on how it looks, how it went, sometimes I will add a cover image to the idea pin. It could either be animated, it could be just still image. And then I sometimes will add a call to action page at the end. It really just depends on what we talked about, what Kate said in the video. Did she have a call to action or not? Things like that. So that's kind of how I process it through my head and, you know, actually take action on it.
So I would ask, like, when you're, I was trying to think of like the person trying to formulate this like workflow in their head. And I know somebody's going to ask this is, when it comes to how many slides you're using in this idea pin, does it matter? Like if they just want to upload the short form video into one slide versus the cover image, like you said, or the end call to action. I get that question quite a bit from people.
Yeah. You know, it really depends. I don't think it matters a ton, but I do think you should pay attention. If you are creating videos, whether you're talking to your audience or it's like an aerial shot of you doing something and you have a voiceover or whatever, it's still all video, you know, pay attention to how that speaks to your audience. Do they really like that? Are they stopping to look and watch? Or is it more that your audience is more receptive to the static images with text? If video is what's grabbing them, then I would do more of that and not even worry about cover images. I wouldn't. I would put like text overlay maybe over your video for sure. Actually, I would do that. Just calling out, this is what we're talking about in this video to grab their attention, you know? So I guess I would just say, pay attention to what your audience is clicking on stopping to watch or read.
Right. That's that part about like looking at analytics to see what the user's engaged with and letting that guide you. And oftentimes, you know, I hear this from a lot of content creators. They will say, man, I really thought this was going to hit it out of the park and nobody engaged with it. But this other one that I kind of just threw up last minute or I didn't think people would engage with it went crazy. That happens a lot. Like you just never know what people are going to like. So that's why you have to really use those analytical tools. Okay, so we've covered Pinterest. So after we're done with Pinterest, how do you then address YouTube and Instagram, uploading them? And are we doing it the same day? Are we doing that different days? How are we staggering them?
So I try to upload an IG reel if I want to use it as a reel or a short on the same day that I created the idea pin. But it doesn't always happen. I don't really think it really matters. It's like evergreen content, so it's relevant anytime. So, but yeah, just for easier workflow, I try to do it on right after I've created that idea pin. So what I will do is I'll do one of two things. I actually talk about this in one of our YouTube videos, how to download idea pins without the watermark. So that's one thing I do.
If it's we'll an link idea, that below
yeah,
too.
Yeah, let's do that. I will, if it is an idea pin that, like, let's say, doesn't link to, like, I don't know if you know this, but when you are creating on a page, one specific page of your idea pin, and you go to stickers, you can select like different board that you can link to. So you can link to one of your boards and say, hey, if you want more of this content, go check out this board. So I've done that a few times. And so if I have that kind of a tag on the idea pin, I might not download the idea pin without the watermark and then repurpose it on an IG reel, just because then that tagged board is not going to be clickable on Instagram. So if it is an idea pin that doesn't have those specific Pinterest type tags on it, and it doesn't have a cover image, I will often just download it before I hit publish. That is the way to get an idea pin without the watermark, the Pinterest logo watermark. So then I can just easily, because it has all the text overlay, if I've added text overlay, things like that, I can just take it and upload it as a reel, add my caption, and it's ready to go. It's super easy. Nice. I love that method.
Yeah. Super quick and efficient. And, you know, people always talk about like repurposing content and how to be super efficient with it, how to be super effective with it. And that's a really great, quick and easy way to do it. And also to the point about like uploading on the same day, some people have often said like, I don't want, like, are people going to be annoyed that they see it all? I will tell you now, I don't know anyone that I follow on YouTube, Pinterest, and Instagram that I would even care if I saw the same thing on the same day. And Pinterest isn't time-based. So you need to remember, like, who knows when people are seeing it, right?
Exactly.
So we just have make it whatever's easier for you. That's what I say.
Exactly. We have an idea pin that was, I believe the second idea pin we ever made. It's still getting traffic. It has, the last thing time I looked, I think it was like 600,000 impressions and thousands of click-throughs and all of that. So definitely you don't have to think of idea pins as being like that day and then it's done.
Right. Which is the beautiful part about Pinterest. It's this slow moving, build the momentum, keep putting a log on the fire kind of thing. And that's what each of these pieces are. So I'm going to hypothesize for a minute as we close this out, Tubby. So there's questions. I did hear somebody recently say this, where they said they thought short form content was going to start to go away. But what's fascinating is that people not tuned in to the online space might actually just start using it. So it's like they're a little bit behind the curve. I guess I'm conflicted where I don't know. I think there's a place for short form content and people consuming it. But I don't know if I agree with them that it's necessarily going to go away and like people aren't going to use it. I don't know. I love YouTube. My whole family loves YouTube, actually. We all pretty much from like 7 p.m. to like 8:30 in the evening, check out on our phones watching YouTube. And that's a combination of long form video and shorts. I would say my kids gravitate more towards shorts sometimes, but they will go in between. So I don't know. What's your thoughts on this whole short form versus long form?
I cannot see it completely going away. I just think that, I mean, I think that maybe the reason anybody would kind of hint at that or think that or say that is because Instagram has kind of reeled back from, you know, pushing, you got to make reels to, you know, get seen on Instagram, you know, put a little bit more like, oh yeah, we're back to our roots. Let's bring back the still images. But I don't think that that means that short form videos are going to go away. I think, as far as I can tell, YouTube is still, encouraging shorts. So, and YouTube is, you know, a great platform. It's doing well. Exactly. Yes. Thank you, Google. So, yes. I don't know. I think it might like morph and change, but I don't think it's going to go away. So, I don't think kind of like letting that go in your business plan is a good idea.
Yeah, I would agree. And especially, I would say, even if you don't love the format and you've kind of hoped that TikTok will go away forever, I totally get it. But I would say short form video content is a great way to engage with new people, new users, so that you can really grow your audience. So, Tabby, thanks so much for this rundown, the play-by-play. Want everybody to know to check out the Simple Pin YouTube channel. We are definitely over there with longer form content. We'll put that link below in your podcast app and player. And if you want the show notes for any of this, you can go to simplepinmedia.com/329. Our website is very robust with a lot of tools, tips, tricks, guides, show notes for every single podcast that we have had, and really just basically a way for you to really get whatever Pinterest marketing information you need to get better at connecting with your end consumer or reader. So thank you again, Tabby, for sharing your social media expertise and your short form content expertise. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Kate. See you next time.